So, reading through all these articles on childhood anxiety, one thing just kept jumping out at me. It's often kind of invisible, right? Like kids aren't always gonna, raise their hand and be like, "Hey, I'm feeling anxious."
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So for this deep dive, I thought it'd be really interesting to look into why that is.
Okay.
And then, what are some of those maybe less obvious signs
Yeah.
that us, parents, caregivers, teachers might be able to pick up on.
I love it.
So we'll be looking at some of those more subtle cues and then some real life examples. I tried to pull some stuff that felt really relatable, like stuff you might actually be seeing.
Perfect.
And then, of course, we'll bring in some of that expert thinking to help us make sense of it all.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Based on the research you sent over, I think, one of the biggest challenges is that for kids, the ability to identify and articulate those more complex emotions, like anxiety, it's still developing, right? So they might be experiencing, the physical sensations like a racing heart, that tight stomach, the butterflies, but they don't necessarily connect it to a feeling of worry in their minds, let alone having the, vocabulary to actually put it into words.
That makes total sense. So if they're not saying, "Hey, I'm anxious," what are we looking for? What are those behavioral shifts? What's that red flag?
It's so interesting because, anxiety, it can really camouflage itself. You might see a child who suddenly becomes like super clingy or like the total opposite, right? Totally withdrawn, really quiet. Changes in their sleep patterns are often a huge one. Difficulty falling asleep, waking up a lot during the night,
Got it.
irritability can really spike, or they might start complaining about like vague physical things, headaches, tummy aches, even when there's like no medical reason.
And that's the thing, right? It's so easy to just be like, "Oh, they're just tired," or, "Oh, they just ate something weird."
Exactly. Yeah, it's not always what we immediately think of as anxiety.
Totally. Okay, so thinking about like a parent's perspective, right? How might this kind of play out in a real life situation? Maybe something that echoes some of the scenarios in the articles.
Sure. So imagine you have a child who, like, they love going to their after-school club, right? And then all of a sudden, they're coming up with all these reasons to stay home
Every week.
every single week. They're tired, sudden homework emergency, whatever it is. But they never actually mention any worries about, the social stuff or the pressure at the club.
Interesting.
So the parent might just see it as, oh, they're just being a little reluctant. But it could be like this subtle sign of some deeper anxiety about, all those social interactions.
Makes sense, yeah. Okay, so now let's flip it. Let's think from the kid's point of view. What might be happening internally that makes it so hard to just, come out and say how they're feeling?
Well, from their perspective, they might feel that like intense worry
Right.
before a test,
Right.
thinking I'm going to fail and everyone's going to know I'm not smart.
Yeah.
But they don't have the words to actually label that as test anxiety. So instead, they just feel this strong urge to avoid school that day,
Makes
maybe
sense.
pretend to be sick.
Right.
And there's also, that fear of being seen as weak or different
Oh, yeah, for
if
sure.
they talk about their worries.
Absolutely. So it's almost like there's this gap between that internal feeling and then the ability, or maybe even the feeling of safety to express it.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've got this disconnect.
Right.
Is there like a key expert insight that really shines a light on this? Something from the research that you're like, "Oh, wow, this really explains it."
One thing that kept coming up was the importance of emotional literacy. Experts are always emphasizing that children learn to identify and name their emotions through guidance, through safe environments. And without that foundation, anxiety just stays this like this vague discomfort. Influences their behavior, but they don't consciously understand it, and they definitely don't have the ability to articulate it.
Makes sense.
And on top of that, sometimes kids learn, maybe not explicitly, but implicitly, that being vulnerable isn't safe. And so they internalize all those feelings.
Yeah, that's a great point. So I think for anyone listening, this really highlights that anxiety in kids, it doesn't always come out as just words,
It's not straightforward.
It's not straightforward. It's more about tuning into those shifts in behavior, the physical complaints, changes in their usual way of being.
Exactly. It's about being more attuned to those like quieter signals,
Yes,
and
sir.
that's how you gain a deeper understanding into what might be going on under the surface.
Totally agree. And I think for folks who are looking for more resources, especially on how to create those safe spaces, you know, where kids feel comfortable expressing themselves.
Yeah.
Understory Kids is a phenomenal resource.
I love it.
They do amazing work.
They do.
Really focusing on fostering that emotional connection.
So important.
So I think, you know, starting with this understanding that anxiety can be silent, that's huge.
Yeah, that's a great takeaway.
That's a huge first step.
It is. So now, thinking back to the kids in your life, what are some of those maybe subtle changes that you've noticed that, you know, looking back through this lens could actually suggest something more is going on? It's all about noticing those nuances, and maybe it can open up new ways to connect and offer support.
Love that. I love that. Well, thank you so much for taking the deep dive with me today.
It's been a pleasure, as always.
Always a pleasure. And to everyone listening, thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Bye, everyone. Well